Thanks, Brian. Now, many people are working from home at the moment and will be familiar with the benefits as well as the challenges associated with it. However, a new survey has found that 83% of us would like to continue to work from home once the crisis ends. Well, in a moment, we'll get reaction to these findings from Maeve McElwee, who's Director of Employer Relations at IBEC. But first, to tell us a little bit more about the survey's findings, I'm joined by Alma McCarthy, Professor of Public Sector Management in NUIG. Professor McCarthy, thank you very much for joining us. As I said, your survey found that 83% of people want to continue to work remotely after COVID-19. Did they say why?
Good morning. We conducted the Whitaker Institute in UI Galway and the Western Development Commission conducted this study at the end of April. And they say why. I mean, the top benefits that were cited by the respondents, we got 7,241 responses over a 1 week period, which was phenomenal interest in the survey. The key benefits that were cited were no traffic and no commute, reduced costs of going to work and commuting, and greater flexibility as to how they manage the working day.
And I'm just wondering, in terms of when you conducted this survey, is there any chance that they'd had a couple of weeks of working at home and there was a novelty around it and they were enjoying it and maybe hadn't come to terms with the challenges that, that can be associated with it too? Or when did you ask people about this?
Yes, so we asked at the end of April and early May, and the timing was useful in that people had probably moved from the initial emergency reactive stage when we were all kind of forced to work remotely where we could, and people had got into a bit of a routine. But I suppose what we have found somewhat surprising is that the response rate of which people are saying that they would like to continue to do so. So 51% of the 7,200 respondents had never worked remotely before for any period of time. So that's quite a substantial number of people who, you know, had no experience. And of those 51% who had never worked remotely, 78% of those want to continue to do so for some or all of the time. So when we look at further at their preferences, the majority, 42%, would like to work remotely several times a week, and 12% would like to continue to work remotely daily. So there's definitely an appetite by employees to continue to leverage the possibilities of working remotely. And I suppose it aligns quite well with the developments over the weekend. And Maeve will be able to speak more to these as well, because I know that IBEC were involved with the return to work safely protocol, which will be calling for people to continue to work remotely for quite some time where they possibly can, which will help with social distancing, etc.
And what challenges then do people have? I assume it wasn't all plain sailing.
No, it's not. And I suppose, you know, obviously the current social experiment, as some people would call it, is the worst case scenario to work remotely, because we don't have our childcare supports. If we have childcare, we don't have schools. So some could argue that people's remote working experience could only get better once those kind of supports come back into play. But the key challenges that were cited in rank order, most often cited, was not being able to switch off from work. So the blurred lines, I suppose, of work and personal life now is more difficult to navigate, because you don't have the physical remove, if you like, from the workplace. Secondly, that it's harder to communicate and collaborate with colleagues and co-workers. And a lot spoke about their physical workspace and their equipment. So again, there was no time to prepare. In the ordinary run of the mill, you know, organizations and employers would be able to prepare employees to set up their desks, get their ergonomic equipment and all of that. So that is definitely a challenge that was cited by many.
Which sectors or industries were you speaking to, Alma, or did you get responses from?
We did, yes. So I suppose we are only obviously looking at those who are currently working remotely. And there was a question at the start to filter out those responses. So the kind of key industries that are highlighted are in the sort of professional services side, consulting, those who can work remotely at administration. Those are the areas that are kind of the majority of respondents are from.
And what about productivity then? Because I think this will be a key concern for employers, that perhaps productivity might not be what it would be if people were in the office and they could have eyeballs on them. Did you have any findings on that?
Yes. So yes, we asked about perceived productivity levels. So just I suppose to ensure people are aware that this is an employee survey, and down the line we're interested in looking at the employer side also. But the employees are responding that they'd say 37% of that 7,200, 37% of them indicated their productivity is the same as normal, and 30% report that it's higher than normal. Which is kind of, again, very interesting that, you know, two thirds are saying that it's the same or higher. That's their perceived perceptions of their productivity. 25% report that it's lower. And in those cases, a lot of it is around childcare or elder care, challenges of managing that. And then 9% indicated it was impossible to compare because so much has changed.
All right.
And I think
Well,
that's
as
fair
I
enough.
said, Maeve McElwee from IBEC is also on the line. And there you have it, Maeve. More people want to work from home or continue working from home more often when this all ends, if this ever all ends. Does that surprise you?
Good morning, Sarah. No, it doesn't surprise me at all, actually, because it's definitely something that we've been seeing as part of a continuing trend over the last number of years, even long before we started to look at the challenges posed by the current situation with coronavirus. So we have been engaging with employers through our campaign, our Smarter World, Smarter Work campaign, looking at this whole question of the future of work. And lots of what's come up in Alma's survey there is what we have been seeing for employers across the board. So although it's only a few short weeks ago, it seems like a long time ago that we were at full employment, and with challenges in childcare and infrastructure and housing and so on. Many employers were looking as a recruitment and retention tool to help people to move out to do more remote working, and it was something that we were very strongly engaged on. So I'm not surprised at all, actually.
Because I know we've been talking about the future of work in this country for decades now, and certainly in the last couple of years at least, there's been a lot of emphasis about working from home more. But it wasn't happening, or at least it was happening at a very slow pace. Do you think now, after this, or maybe there is no after this, we'll be living with COVID-19, that realistically workplaces are going to be very different, that employers are maybe going to reduce their office space dramatically, that employees will find themselves working from home 2 or 3 days a week, coming into the office 2 days a week. Is that what we're looking at, do you think, like for the future? We're never going back to the old normal.
I think we will see a significant permanent shift following the crisis. And you're right, it will be a considerable period of time yet, I think, before we see a lot of people who are in a position to work from home actually moving back into office work. I think this will be with us for a little while longer. But in terms of when we do actually find our new normal, I think our new normal will be quite different. We will see people working remotely on a much more regular basis. And of course, there's lots of things that need to be taken into account there. So, of course, you know, what we have discovered over the course of this is that some jobs are very suitable to working at home. Some jobs with some adaptation will be very suitable to working at home. And it has been a great opportunity for employers to learn what works well and what doesn't work well. And also for employees, because, you know, the idea of working from home works very well for some people. For others, actually, it's not necessarily how they like to engage. There's huge well-being that comes from the social engagement with your colleagues on a regular basis. There's lots of productivity and collaboration that happens very naturally when people come together. So it will be for organisations and employees together to work to find that right balance, actually, that works very well. And that will be a combination of, you know, office working and remote working. But I think we will definitely see a much bigger shift to more remote working.
So do you
more
think
regularly.
On that basis, because Alma raised there some of the challenges people had, and one of the big challenges was having the right equipment, whether it be screens or the right chair. Should employers now start facilitating employees at home on the basis that this is the future? Here you go, here is the equipment, because this is the way it's going to be.
I think right now, really what employers are just trying to do is manage their business through this crisis and try and get a long-term view of what's coming. Obviously, once we start to look at the long term and engaging with employees around how that's going to work, that will be the time for us to start to look at office setups and looking at the right equipment and so on. For now, lots of people are really challenged around how we're just managing through the day to day. And it's interesting when we talk about the productivity, because for lots of employers, you know, as I think has already been said, this wasn't the ideal way that most people would leave their office and go to work remotely. There are lots of challenges for people around, you know, the response responsibilities that they have, their access to broadband and so on. And lots of employers getting mixed responses. Obviously, where people have caring responsibilities, productivity can be challenging. But on the other hand, we also have employers coming and saying, we're a bit concerned, actually. We're afraid people are burning out and aren't necessarily understanding how to switch off and trying to help them with that. So I think as we shift into a longer view of how people are going to work, those are all the issues that employers are going to be looking at in more detail.
Maeve, do you expect big firms like LinkedIn, for example, to keep staff working from home for the rest of the year? We're hearing Google is another firm that's planning to do that. Do you think that's the way it's going to go for this year at least?
I think across the board for lots of organisations, it's certainly something that they're going to be considering now. Of course, we're at the very early stage of reopening, but we do know that it's going to be important that we manage this return to work in a safe way so that we don't see a further surge of cases that are coming through. So I think lots of employers are hearing the message that says where you can continue to work from home, you should do so at this point in time. And we need to be really careful around the fact that while actually, and in line with the national protocol on a safe return to work, many employers are going to be able to provide very safe spaces for people to work in. But the challenge, of course, is managing that rationed public space, that whole area around people travelling together, the need for public transport, the need to avoid people maybe congregating in large areas, in city centres, for instance. So that's going to be challenging. So for many employers, if they can keep people out of that necessity to circulate every day to travel to and from work and continue to work from home, that will be the way to go.
And you mentioned there about the return to work, and obviously the government has published their detailed steps that employers have to take in order to open up their offices and get people back in. I know IBEC were involved in those discussions. Can you just remind us what measures people will need to take?
So there are there's a comprehensive set of measures that are set out in the national protocol, and really they're very practical and pragmatic steps around ensuring that people come back to work safely. So it's really about setting out your own organisation level plan for how you're going to manage that return to work, making sure that that's in line with your safety statement. It's ensuring that you have, you know, engaged with employees as they return to work to check, you know, their current status and their wellness and well-being. It's about making sure that you've done some training, ensuring people that are familiar with hand hygiene practices, respiratory hygiene practices, and addressing how you're going to manage things like social distancing within your organisation. Interestingly, and it's always interesting to see it, that the first reactions, one of the big issues that has come up for us is the whole area of temperature testing and face masks recently, but temperature testing today because it appears in the protocol. And again, just to say, it's really important that employers and employees engage with a whole range of the advices that come through. Temperature testing is not recommended by any of the public health guidance at this point in time, with the exception of residential care settings, because the challenge is that lots of people are asymptomatic and temperature testing is not effective at all in addressing that. So it's there because it's a guidance in a very specific set of circumstances. But it's not a part of the overall public health guidance, but it's the one that's triggering a lot of attention in the protocol today.
Maeve, I just want to go back to this idea of having the proper equipment working from home, because we have a text in from a listener saying, my back is broken working with no proper desk at home. Why can't my employer get me properly set up at home? And indeed, I'd say that that's echoing the views of lots of people sitting on their bed with a laptop or wherever they might be who haven't been given the proper equipment. I know you were saying now that employers have a lot to be dealing with already, but maybe this should be a priority for employers in the short term.
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, as businesses are beginning to feel their way back into, you know, what their longer term planning and even medium term planning is going to be now, it has, of course, become more clear that people will be out for longer. So definitely, you know, employers and employees should be engaging around trying to make sure that people have the best facilities that they can manage at the current time. And what I would say is I would certainly be encouraging people now to start to engage, to identify what could be used. Is there equipment in the office that could be made available to assist people in their own specific circumstances.
All right, and we have lots of other texts in on this. People talking about how their flat isn't meant to be used as a workplace. Another person asking about what happens if I fall from working, if I'm working from home. And as it happens, on tomorrow's programme, we're going to be joined by employment law specialist and solicitor Richard Grogan, who is more than happy to answer any questions and queries about the world of work generally in this pandemic. He'll be talking about what your rights are if you're working from home. But if you feel exactly this, if you feel you're not being properly equipped by your employer, also what happens if an employee wants to continue working from home but the employer wants to be back on site. We have lots of questions about all of this, so if you would like Richard to answer your question, you can text us 51551. You can send an email to todayradio@rte.ie, and we'll try to get through as many of those as we can tomorrow. For now, Maeve McAwee and Alma McCarthy, thank you both very much for joining me on that. We'll be back in a moment.